This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, yes. Good Friday morning to one and all. TGIF. That's exactly right. It is Taz and the Moose with you. CBS Sports Radio. As we roll right along for the next 3 hours, right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, as we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and make sure to mortgage confidently. You've got Mikey B and Pete the Potty across the way. AB with your updates. Can't play a talking number to call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Make sure to hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz of the Moose, at Mark Malusis with a C, at Official Taz with a Z. Sirius 213 XM 201961 on the old app. And a good Friday morning, Taz.
Oh, for me? Not you, my friend.
Ooh, yeah.
I feel bad for you.
Why?
Oh, come on. Two words. Arizona.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah, terrible pick.
Bro, what happened? You're done.
That was a terrible loss.
You're done.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, my bracket, yeah, my bracket there is done.
It's over.
No question about it, yeah.
You had a good run one day.
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, it's interesting.
Did they stink or what, bro? Come on.
Sean Miller, I tweeted out last night. Listen, Sean Miller, it's the last time I'll ever pick an Arizona Sean Miller-led team. Number one is he might get fired off of this kind of loss. You know, Ayton and Trier already declared for the NBA draft. All five starters are going to be gone. The three commitments that he had, including Shaq's son, have all decommitted. One's going to UCLA, that's Shaq's son. One's going to Villanova. The other one is yet to determine where he's going to play college basketball next season. So right now they've only got five or six guys that are set and ready to go for next year for college basketball for the Arizona Wildcats. They're under the investigation. His main assistant that has been his right-hand man is probably facing federal prison. So the idea of Sean Miller, who's been a monumental disappointment, where his teams have completely and utterly underachieved in the NCAA tournament, coming off a loss last night in which Buffalo is emptying their bench with about a minute and a half to go in that basketball game.
Well, making they sure smoked that they them. Get, I mean, they smoked
Yeah, they
Arizona.
Did. I mean, think about that. I mean, the fact that not only do you lose, but you physically you quit on the court. I mean,
yeah.
The team absolutely quit. He got out-coached. They couldn't deal with the defensive pressure of Buffalo. The Bulls hit 15 of 30 from behind the arc. I think Arizona was 2 for 18. An absolute and monumental disaster.
Unbelievable. Senior Wes Clark right there from the Bulls, not the Bills. So we'll get into that later if we can. Remember
Ernie Johnson.
Ernie Johnson said, Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Nice try, Ernie. It's the Bulls. So senior Wes Clark, man, he dropped 25. I mean, he had 25 points, 10 of 14 shooting, and 7 assists. And junior Jeremy Harris had 23 points. Listen, man, it was, you said it best, bro, out-coached. Okay, Buffalo coach Nate Oates out-coached Miller and his coaching staff for sure. Out-coached before the game. Their guards for the Bulls were unbelievable. I mean, the way they played this game, they were great.
And they faced four guard alignments. You know, Arizona State does a very similar way, but they didn't face the defensive pressure. And Arizona made it, and a lot of their guys, including, I believe it was Cartwright after the game, said that the physicality of Buffalo kind of put them off early in that basketball game. They did not look comfortable in any way, shape, or form. And you also talk about effort, want, and desire. And Buffalo played with that effort, that want, that desire, and Arizona blinked. And then eventually they just quit. And the bow burst when it was 60 to 55. And then Buffalo was able to spurt away. And the next time you see it, it's 72-58. The game was over with under 8 minutes to go. Because, you know, first and foremost, I mean, Buffalo is banking shots in from behind the arc. And Arizona can't hit the broadside of a barn. Ayton DeAndre Ayton only had 14 points and 13 rebounds. The Bulls did a fantastic job of double-teaming him. Oates talked about it after the game, saying you could take a big man out of the game in college because there's no defensive three-second rule, and he's dead-on correct with that. It is a catastrophic loss for Arizona because after the injury, as we talked to John Rothstein yesterday, after the injury to Virginia where they lose the sixth man of the year, a lot of people looked at that South region and said, all right, well, I mean, Arizona right now would have to be the favorite, right? And I asked Rothstein that question. He said, yeah, they are the favorite. Ayton, the best college player in America. And they lose to Buffalo 89-68 last night. A disastrous loss.
I'm still laughing about your bracket. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, but the thing is, you mentioned Ayton, right? So, look, Buffalo, to your point, they played a great defensive game for sure. It basically seemed like the Bulls, Buffalo's game plan was to, we're going to shut down DeAndre Ayton. And you know, you've heard this moves for years. Your teams, no matter what sport it is, they'll go into games from a defensive standpoint like, we are not going to let their star offensive guy, no matter what sport it is, we're not going to let this guy beat us. We're going to force them to get the ball to somebody else. Just this cat here, Ayton, he's not beating us. And that seemed like exactly from a defensive standpoint what Buffalo did, and they did a great job of it.
Well, they did. And listen, you got to look at the first and foremost, you got to look from behind the arc. I mean, the Bulls hit 15 three-pointers. I think Arizona hit two. So you get outscored by the final count of, 45 points behind the arc. You get outscored by 39 points from three. I don't care who you're playing. Especially in college basketball where the three-point shot is the great equalizer, you're going to lose. And Arizona's guards and shooting the ball from the outside was terrible. And Buffalo, and Arizona struggled the early part of the year defending the three-point shot. Early part of the year, they were giving up around 36-37%. They were allowing opponents to shoot from behind the arc. Then they went through a stretch there where they were holding opponents to about 25-26%. Last night was an absolute and utter disaster as the Bulls basically couldn't miss. Here's Sean Miller talking about how the Bulls made it a difficult night.
Well, we knew we had a very tough draw. We knew we were playing an excellent basketball team and a team, quite frankly, that we didn't necessarily match up well with. We prepared hard, but we ran into a team that played well. On a night where we didn't, they certainly had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, they certainly did.
Well, you got to play well, man. This is the guns to your head. This is the biggest game. This one and done. When you're in, lose, you're out. You got to play good.
Yeah, I know, and they didn't. Here's Miller again on how his team struggled in the second half.
It's 40-38 at the half. And kind of the way our team played this entire season, we've been more of a second half group than a first half. And a lot of times, and at first 4 minutes of the second half, we really get going. The opposite happened tonight.
Yeah, it certainly did. I mean, they did not get going. And when Buffalo reestablished themselves after that great first half, that they were going to be there to stay in the second half, Taz, Arizona blinked, and they had little to no pushback whatsoever. And that's a credit to their head coach, Nate Oates.
We felt like maybe we got bad seed. We thought we were better than that. But then I told the guys, like, after the initial – like, we're trying to get to the second weekend. Like, whether you beat a 5 as a 12, you know, I didn't know that we were going to get higher than a 12, and then a 4, or a 4 first, and a 5. Like, let's just go give what they gave us and get it done.
Yeah, I mean, listen, whether they got underseeded or what, it does not matter. I mean, at the end of the day, they have the first big moment that'll be part of one shining moment at the end of this NCAA tournament.
Funny
because
you
that was
that.
That was a fantastic performance by Buffalo last night. And what was an interesting first day of the NCAA tournament, as Arizona bust a lot of brackets, including myself, and a disastrous selection, as the Wildcats go back home and the Bulls march on to take on the John Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats.
Well, it was a great day. It was a great day for Taz, too, because my bracket looks pretty good. There's a lot of green on my side, my friend.
Nice.
Lots of green. But I will say this, that song by Luther Vandross, by the way, I watched about 7,000 college games yesterday. And I did not hear that song once.
It on Championship Monday night.
Okay, I did not hear it once. So we're not there yet, you're saying?
No, you don't hear that song.
I'm supposed to hear it every game. Like you said, every game.
No, I said
not before every game?
No, I didn't say every game.
You implied it. You definitely implied it.
I did not imply that.
You kind of implied it.
I did not imply that. I said Championship Monday night they talk about it.
All right. Maybe I was wrong, but I didn't hear it. I'm just letting you know. I mean, I went to iTunes and listened to it.
It's not that surprising. You wouldn't hear it. They don't play it.
Well, I put it on my iPhone while I was watching the game before every game. I listened to it on my iTunes. Every game I put it on. Yeah. It was like my national anthem.
Well, it's great. It's a fantastic song.
I don't think it's that good. It's kind of soft. But anyway.
It's a great song.
Let's get back to your bracket. So,
You actually watched the game yesterday looking and trying to hear if they're going to play One Shining Moment?
No, I just realized after these games, I never heard it once in all the games. I didn't realize it was Championship Monday. I didn't know that. I will promise you, on Championship Monday, I will mute all the TVs in the compound, all of them. Well, I have one remote
that
shuts them all
down. They played after the game, after the nets are cut down, after the trophy's handed out. It wraps up their coverage.
I'll be in bed by that time, sleeping. I'll be counting orange sheep.
Well, you can DVR it.
No, I don't. I will not. I don't care.
It's a special 3 minutes of life.
No. Not a basketball game? I mean, really? That song's about life, right? It's not about basketball, right?
No,
that
song's special 3 minutes of life, not about life. Oh, of okay. Life. It's a nice. Right, it really right. Encapsulates and brings everything. It comes full circle about the NCAA tournament.
Well, you know,
it's a wonderful song.
Well, yeah. If you like that type of music, I'm more into like a Limp Bizkit style thing. So that's more of my speed.
Limp Bizkit really wouldn't work.
I don't think so.
I mean, it's about the moment. It's not a matter of I understand your taste in music. That's not that. You can still appreciate. You can still appreciate the brilliant sound of Luther Vandross and a little One Shining Moment.
You want to talk about a shining moment. Yeah. How about Loyola Chicago? Oh, my God. The 64-62 win over Miami.
Fantastic.
The buzzer beater. Dude, that was the greatest moment of yesterday's games. But I'm telling you, to me, that moment where that kid Ingram hit that shot, that 3 minute buzzer beater, that 3-point buzzer beater, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a great missed free throw at the opposite end by Miami. Larinaga's reaction as that ball went through the hoop and grabbing the side of his head.
Awesome.
Loyola Chicago, who everybody and their mother was picking.
We had them.
We had them. But they were a hot pick. To knock off Miami in the first round, that does ring true. And everybody talked about the fact that, you know, they've got certainly three or four guys that could play high-level Division I basketball. And you saw that yesterday, and you saw the ills maybe of Miami, where and that's really what has rung true throughout the course of this NCAA season is, you know, the lack of consistency, especially from what you've seen from the quality teams. Now, there's a loss like Miami had, and that is a heartbreaking loss. I mean, there's no excuses for really the lack of intestinal fortitude that you saw from Arizona last night. But for the most part, that Loyola Chicago games, that's going to be right there as well. So you got a couple moments. You got the Bulls moment. You got the Loyola Chicago moment. You know, you got the pump fist from Danny Hurley as Rhode Island wins in overtime against Oklahoma, which got the tournament going. It was a pretty good first day of the NCAA tournament, Taz.
I enjoyed it very much, especially all the victories my picks had. A lot of green on my side. And I'm not the guy who sits around with the USA Today and before the tournament and goes through it all like, what a monocle on my eye. What do you call that? Like a, not a monocle. What do you call those little single eyeball?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Like a special eyeglasses and I look at my USA Today.
It's a monocle.
It's a monocle, right?
Yes.
That's why I was correct. So I don't sit there with that. I go by instinct and gut, and I'm.
What do you want me to tell you? I was wrong. I picked Arizona.
Bro, I'm a little surprised. I kind of counted you. You know, you're kind of like the man. You know, you everybody knows the moose. He's like an encyclopedia. I'm a little surprised.
It's not a matter. Don't question my knowledge. I made a selection against Arizona.
I'm questioning your gut.
Don't question my gut.
Yeah, they're supposed to cut down the nets. Sean Miller cut down the nets.
I said, wouldn't it be great?
It would
to
be
see
a great
Sean
story.
Miller.
It would have been a great story.
That's what I said.
All right. Take the loss like a man. Don't get upset.
I'm not upset.
It's all fun and games. Moose just having fun.
I'm not upset.
I'm a sore winner. What am I going to tell you?
Well, there's no question about that. We've established that in the first 8 minutes. You're talking about win with a. I mean, honestly, listen.
Like, I won the whole thing.
It's the first day.
I know. I mean,
Jesus.
Sometimes I get a little cocky. I apologize.
A little.
I get up.
I mean, honestly, I'll take some grief. It was a terrible selection. But, I mean, let's be honest here. 855. Yeah.
Hey, I had to
put together a test. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. That is your number to call. What do you want me to say? It was a terrible pick.
No, I know. But okay, aside, I did have them defeating Buffalo also. You know, I thought they would beat Buffalo because I picked them in that first round. That,
who cares? I mean, yeah, it doesn't. Nobody. And honestly, what gets talked about in terms of people ripping up their brackets, and we're going to have some fun with it. Obviously, we got something on the line in terms of breakfast and everything like that, and whoever wins.
Looks like you're buying now, right?
Well, we'll see.
I think you are. You're dead last.
Well, we'll see what happens at the end of the.
Mike, is Moose buying?
We'll see what happens.
He's in the lead to buy, but there's still time.
There's still time to go.
Three eggs, ham, no cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup. It's kind of like a heck.
You got it.
Not a beck.
No worries. All right. You got it. I'll make sure to spit on that sandwich.
And not for that. Well, don't spit on. Just go
855-212-4CBS. Say you'll have a little extra.
You go to the dirt box downstairs. They'll spit on it for you. Don't worry about it.
No, they're great place. Down there. 855-212-4227. That is your number to call. Taz and the Moose with you as we're just getting going. We want your reaction from yesterday. Did you have Arizona tear up your brackets like myself? Or did you have a successful day one as we look ahead to day two as well? Clark Kellogg will join us at 8:25 a.m. Eastern time as well. Looking forward to that. People not happy with the view in Boise. That coming your way next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, yes, as we're rolling right along. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. AB is in the house for the first time on this Friday morning. Good morning, Andrew. How you doing, bud?
Guys, good morning. Your report is brought to you by Cremo Beard Products. The hair on your face requires different care than the hair on your head. Cremo Beard Products have you covered, no matter the length, so you can beard boldly. The irony of Arizona winning a national title shortly after head coach Sean Miller was accused of arranging payment for recruit DeAndre Ayton. No longer possible. Allegedly. Accused.
Allegedly.
Accused.
Right.
The fourth-seeded Wildcats blown out in Boise by Buffalo last night, 89-68. Bulls guard Wes Clark understands if you didn't think his team could win this game.
It's easy to look at us as, you know, a team that can't compete with a high major or a team that got, you know, four NBA prospects that we wouldn't be able to compete. But we know deep down, we watched enough film, looked at things, and, you know, got our confidence right overnight.
Buffalo now preps for Kentucky, who sidestepped Davidson 78-73 last night. In Dallas, Florida ousted St. Bonaventure 77-62, and Texas Tech survived Stephen F. Austin 70-60. Top-seeded Villanova down Radford 87-61, then Alabama upended Virginia Tech 86-83. A disputed block charge call and subsequent tech on Hokies head coach Buzz Williams helped the Tide get the W.
I shouldn't have had the towel in my hand. I think that made it look worse. I thought it was a block.
How about that voice? Buzz sounds waving great. His towel, stomping his feet.
Sounds like my mom when I was a kid. That's how my mom used to sound. She changed now. She got old. She sounds regular. But that's how she used to sound back in the day.
Buzz did admit that others told him after the game that the charge call was correct. Now, yesterday afternoon, Loyola Chicago stunned Miami 64-62 on Dante Ingram's three with 0.3 seconds left. Gonzaga survived UNC Greensboro 68-64. And Ohio State sidestepped South Dakota State 81-73. Kansas head coach Bill Self hopes to have center Udoka Azubuike close to 100% tomorrow against Seton Hall. Azubuike played only 3 minutes in yesterday's defeat of Penn after missing the Big 12 tournament with a sprained knee. Former Indiana coach Tom Crean is taking the Georgia job. From the pros, the Cavaliers, the latest victims of the Blazers.
Dame dribbles left, a three-pointer on the way.
That's Brian Wheeler on Blazers Radio. Portland up 15 in the third at that point. Cleveland got within three in the final minutes before the Blazers won 113-105, extending their win streak to 11. The Raptors won their 10th straight, 106-99 in Indy, and the Jazz won their 8th straight, 116-88 over the Suns. The Spurs held off the Pelicans 98-93. The Sixers a 118-110 win at the Knicks. And the Rockets beat the Clippers 101-96 to clinch the Southwest Division. Tom Benson, the longtime owner of the Saints, who also bought the Pelicans in 2012, died yesterday at 90. Benson had been in the hospital since mid-February with flu-like symptoms. The Raiders reportedly signing wideout Jordy Nelson and running back Doug Martin. They released Michael Crabtree to free up $7.68 million in cap space. And Browns head coach Hugh Jackson said yesterday, Tyrod Taylor is his starting QB. There will be no competition. Tiger Woods tees off at 108 Eastern this afternoon after yesterday's 468 at Bay Hill. He's four shots behind Henrik Stenson. And the Columbus Blue Jackets won their sixth straight NHL game last night, 5-3 in Philly. The Jackets leapfrog the Devils for the top wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference. Guys?
All right, you got AB. Where are we with the standings of the Taz and the Moose Bracket Challenge, Mikey B?
Right now, Taz and Leon are tied for first in our group at 17th.
Yes! There you go.
Yes!
And where?
And Leon with the slight edge because his possible total points are still a little bit higher at 189.
Where's Moose?
At 187.
So the cat is leading.
Yes.
No, he's okay.
Can we stick with that for a second? I mean, that just makes me angry.
The cat is leading.
Yeah, the cat.
Is leading. The cat is leading the group.
But how much is the cat? How much is the cat Leon beat me by?
Well, you have the same total points now, but he
has a better possible score.
So the
cat's winning.
Yes. So that would be the essential tiebreaker right now.
Very nice.
Well, and then the rest of us are all lumped together at 71st. But
wow, it's a big drop.
Andrew and Moose towards the bottom because of their Arizona picks.
There you go.
And Clark Kellogg at 71st as well.
Whoa. Don't just graze over that. Our good friend Clark Kellogg, who
joining us at 8:25 a.m. Eastern time.
That's right.
Twice a week throughout the tournament.
He's a man's man, and he's a man of his word, because Clark said, once you asked the Moose, would you be part of our Gimmick Schnavis Challenge? And he said, yes. And he did.
Yeah,
the man
did
took his time. And where am I beating him, too?
Yeah, he had Arizona in his final.
Well, there you go.
Come on,
there
man.
You see what I'm saying? See,
losing to Michigan State.
Oh, look at that.
That's my final, too. Me and Clark Kellogg. Let's go Sparty.
AB.
Nah, not
Clark
me.
Kellogg and myself.
I'm doing well, though. I'm beating everyone, except Leon. So that's really good.
Well, the cat's winning.
The cat is winning.
The cat is, amongst the group, the cat is winning.
Yeah, but Moose, you're like, Moose, you're like the caboose. You're really back there. You get that?
It rhymes.
Oh, because it rhymes.
Well done.
Funny. That's
I liked it.
Morning show fun. Next.
I shouldn't be this angry about Mike's cat.
No.
Involved.
I thought you'd be more angry that I'm just destroying you guys.
No, you're a person. That's fine.
I'm a person.
Yeah, so that's good.
Thanks, AP. I'm a person.
You're talking about a cat is winning the pool.
Right.
Yeah, well, did the cat pick? That's the thing we need to look into.
Well, the cat selected all cats.
Who did it, Mike? That's true.
Leon, that wouldn't have worked out well.
He did do that.
Leon did it.
The cat selected all cats.
Very talented cat.
Well, I will crush. I would crush the cat.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
I didn't literally mean I would crush Leon. I meant, like, you know, got it. Okay. Joe in San Francisco, you are on Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio. What do you say, Joe?
What's up, Joe?
Good morning, Taz and Moose. How's it going, guys?
Hanging in there, buddy. How
are
you?
What up, man? What up?
Oh, man, this is a great time of year, man. I'm a big sports fan, but, you know, the NCAA, man, I just enjoyed it so much because this is a true David and Goliath thing. You got Division II teams, you know, just upsetting Division I's out of nowhere, and, you know, it's just an exciting time. So,
that's not true.
What do you mean Division II?
There's no Division II teams in here.
What do you mean, Joe?
Well, Buffalo, right?
No, Division I.
They're D1. It's all D1 schools.
Okay. Well, anyway, these unheralded teams, let's put it that way.
Okay, yeah.
You know, just great. But, you know, in terms of a favorite, my damn TV broke, so I didn't get a chance to see the first round. So, I mean, but just hearing it on the radio, you guys keep me abreast of it. I'm kind of rooting for Loyola of Chicago. You know, this might be as far as they go, but, you know, looking back at their history, I think they were one of the first teams to integrate, intercollegiate basketball. And I think... if I'm not mistaken, you know, they allowed a few African-American men to play in 53, and they went a long way in the NCAA. I think they might have won the championship that year or came close to it. So kind of room for them, and I'm a Midwest guy.
Josh, you know, it's going to be tough, right, because they got to play Tennessee. That's what they got to play next, which is going to be tough. But I hear you, man. I mean, who doesn't root for the underdog, right? And that's exactly what they are.
But just to clean that up, Joe, I mean, the first team that was now they're called UTEP, was it Texas Western?
UTEP University of Texas El Paso.
Correct. But they were Texas Western.
Western, okay.
Texas Western initially.
Gotcha.
Okay. When they integrated, and they beat Kentucky, and that was Adolph Rupp. So it was not University of Illinois Chicago. Just to correct.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for correcting me on that. Hey, but, you know, I want to talk about this kind of on a more serious note. When are they going to, like, compensate these young men in intercollegiate sports and give them money? They make tons of money for these colleges, you know, whether it's football, basketball, and, you know, they don't recruit some of these blue chip athletes just for them to go to school. They use them, man. They manipulate them, man. They some kind of way they got to compensate these guys because that's as far as they're going to go. You never know. They, you know, when they get out of school, they might not have the skills to survive in the business world. And, you know, they do so much for these colleges, and I just think it's a shame. And, you know, really, you know, they're just ripping off, you know.
Well, we've talked about that a lot, and Joe, we thank you for calling. And, no, and it's tough to disagree. I understand it from these, especially these bigger programs, that they're pulling in a lot of money. When you watch a school like Davidson, who lost yesterday, when you watch a school like Davidson, you see that these kids are shaking hands, the seniors saying goodbye to their, you know, to the underclassmen, and it's kind of sad, right? I mean, a lot of teams went away yesterday, obviously, but, you know, Davidson, because it's interesting, like, if you look at them, like, most of, you know, there's not many Steph Currys coming out as Davidson anymore, you know what I mean? So, but a lot of those kids, they are prepared to go into the business world, because Davidson actually is a great academic school, and these kids are getting their education there. So that's what I was thinking watching that, just sidebar, you know? But yeah. I see what this guy Joe's saying, you know?
Well, yeah, I think when you look at the pay-for-play aspect of it, I think there's a lot of that needs to be worked out. I mean, you've got Title IX issues. You certainly are looking at then, conceivably speaking, every Division I college athlete on every campus in America will get a stipend and a payment. And now you're going to say that's not necessarily fair, because you look at the money makers, which is men's college basketball and men's football are the money makers, really, in essence. We're a long ways away from having any sort of solution. However, there are guys that go to college, whether it be Davidson or mid-major or even some big Division I schools, who's doesn't really necessarily have a future of playing professional basketball, but they're using their athletic ability to get a college scholarship. And then there are other guys that are using college as a vehicle to get themselves to the next level because they have that athletic ability. So it's different for every individual. You can't just have a broad stroke for everybody. But, yeah, I wouldn't say they're getting used and abused. I would say that are they getting everything that they should be getting? Probably not, because in essence, if you're a one-and-done player, as we have had people on the air, you're on the campus probably for about 5-6 months. I mean, DeAndre Ayton, well, he declared for the NBA draft. DeAndre Ayton's done. Do you think he's going to camp? Do you think he's going to classes in the spring?
He basically said it right after the game.
He's going to the NBA. So did Trier. So you look at those two players for Arizona, and that I'm not just calling out those two guys, but there are a number of guys that are going to be declaring for the NBA draft. Once they get back to campus, they pack their things up and they go. I mean, that's it. They're not continuing and, class.
And for the players and the student athletes that stay, let's say they stay till their senior year, you know, maybe they're just not hyped or good enough or whatever the case may be to go into the NBA or whatever sport we're talking about, you know, namely here football and basketball, because they pull in the most money for these universities. You know, I think, Moose, what a lot of people don't realize is while these guys are there, you always hear, well, if a guy's not good enough, at least he's getting his education paid for and all that. And that is true to a degree. Okay, they do get their education paid for, and they're not paying for nothing, basically. I mean, maybe sometimes books. But the thing is, what I'm getting at is a lot of time, most of the times, they have so much to do. These guys, these athletes, these men and women at Division I schools, they have so much responsibilities. There are certain classes you can't take. I know of kids in, you know, that have want to take certain classes, and then the coach's like, listen, man, we got a big game this week. You know, we're in a second semester. You might want to take that lab in the summertime. Well, I want to take this lab now, coach, because I want to get this credit for it. No, take it in the summer. It's not like a regular student who's just going to school getting their education. So a lot of people don't realize that. You know what I mean? Like they get their education, but they got a plethora of opportunity, things to do, responsibilities on campus because of their said sport. It's tough to get the education that maybe they want.
Gotcha.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. 855-212-4227, that is your number to call. We hit upon it going into the break, and a lot of people were complaining yesterday. The Boise section where the games were being played in terms of the camera angle and the viewpoint. I mean, if you're going to hop on Twitter and complain about the angle, number one is it's set in place. So whether it be TBS, whoever, you know, CBS, it does not matter. Whoever's broadcasting the games, Taz, I know it looked like it was from a mile away and you got a complete half-court view and zooming in and everything and the like watching those games from Boise yesterday. However, I mean, that's a set position. A lot of these places, especially when you look at smaller gyms or I would say smaller arenas, they've got set camera positions for specific sports, especially when you look at basketball. And if you compare the view that you got yesterday watching the tournament game as compared to watching Boise men's basketball when they're playing home games, it's the same exact vantage point and the same viewpoint. Maybe you can't get as creative. Maybe you can't get a viewpoint, but I get it was from a mile away. I understand that it wasn't the best way to watch a college basketball game, but it is what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, I could get into detail here, if not to bore anyone. Some people might be interested. That camera is called a hard camera, right?
Right.
So that's a hard camera. That means, so most people don't know what that means. So what that means is that's a camera on a tripod that's not held by a man or a woman walking around with it. So it's on a tripod and it's a set shot, to Moose's point. Hard camera, that's what the inside term is, right? Now, here's the thing. The reason why a lot, because I've seen this a lot and I've worked in a lot of these arenas as a wrestler that these guys play in college and pro arenas where hockey and NBA games are played and stuff. A lot of times, the reason why this happens, which folks don't understand, and why would they? They wouldn't know, I should say. It's the lighting grid. It's the lighting grid above the court or the rink or whatever, or the ring, whatever it is. It's the lighting grid in certain buildings have to be lower or higher. Therefore, the hard camera needs to be adjusted, and sometimes you get that type of shot. That's the real reason why that happened. I thought the shot was a little high-angled also. But, you know, to your point, Moose, it is what it is. They're trying. Look, I thought TBS, CBS, I thought all the production of all the games as a whole, from the studio people to the sideline reporters to the color commentators and play-by-play, I loved it all. I thought I was switching back and forth. I was having a blast.
They make a high investment. I think they do a great job of covering the tournament. But it is a set shot. They did issue a statement saying they might look at a different vantage point of showing the game come Saturday when that region does continue, when the games in Boise do continue, but we'll find out. But there were a lot of complaints about it. I mean, it is what it is. The other arenas, you had better vantage points, better viewpoints, but if you watch if you watch Boise basketball at all during the course of the regular season, it is a little bit of a high-angled, strange viewpoint, but it's the same as what you saw in the regular season of college basketball you saw yesterday throughout the day of the NCAA tournament. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Trae Young, Oklahoma, one and done as well. We'll get into the future of the star guard for the Sooners, and do millennials watch college hoops? We'll get into that next as we roll right along. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's right, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, your number to call. And Taz, Oklahoma, one of the teams that were on the bubble going into Selection Sunday, and they got in even though they went 4-11 in their final 15 games of the season, including the Big 12 Conference Tournament, and they fall in the opening round of the NCAA tournament in overtime to Danny Hurley and Rhode Island as the Rams topple them 83-78. And, you know, Sooners guard Trae Young, in terms of his future and what he is going to do coming off a game in which yesterday afternoon finished with 28 points and was 3 of 9 from behind the arc, 50% from the floor, 9 of 18. Had some curious shot selections down the stretch of the basketball game as well, but I agree with what Charles Barkley had to say in terms of breaking down Young's game, and nobody knows it better than Charles, certainly in terms of guys. He's going to have to get a lot stronger, you know, in terms of jumping to the next level. And he obviously is set to become a top 10 draft choice in June's NBA draft. But in terms of initial success, he said point guard is as tough a position as you can play in the NBA, with the constant grind, the talent that is in the position in the association. And he said about Young, he said he's just not physically where he needs to be in order to step into the league and have immediate impact and success.
I completely agree with Barkley. I agree with you on agreeing with Barkley, because Barkley's right. And there's a lot of these freshmen that are hyped and that are great players, just about the whole Kentucky team, that don't have that, what you would, for guys who've trained a lot, or people who've trained a lot, not just guys, that thickness. Okay, you get that thickness as you get a little bit older, thickness in your muscle mass, your thickness in your the whole grit of your body, you know. And when you're a freshman, it usually the biggest jump you see is when a guy gets into that sophomore year, or a girl, they'll fill out more. And I think that's the thing with a guy like Trae Young. He is lean. I mean, he's very lean. He's a tremendous player, and he's lean. You know, he was very vague. There were comments he made after the game, after Oklahoma lost. And a lot of people, you know, I think we touched on it a little bit after the selection show, felt like Oklahoma, the only reason why they got in this thing was because of that they wanted Trae Young in the tournament. You know what I mean?
Well, and the committee chair, as we joked around that morning, on Monday morning, said they didn't discuss Young when talking about Oklahoma. They looked at it, and Oklahoma still has not won a road game in 2018. Think about that.
Right.
I mean, the fact is that...
That's
and
crazy.
They're not going to win a road game until, conceivably speaking, the start of the college basketball season next year, which gets going right around the holidays, right around Thanksgiving. I mean, it's just utterly amazing.
Right.
But here was Young after the game, and following his Oklahoma loss, his team's loss to Rhode Island in overtime.
Right now, I'm not worried about that. Right now, my main focus is my teammates. Those are my brothers, and those are the people I care about most right now. And it's tough after a loss thinking about anything else besides that. But... I mean, when we get back, I mean, later this week, I'll sit down with my family, we'll discuss that. And but right now, that's not my main focus. My main focus is my teammates.
Yeah, and I like that response better than what we got from DeAndre Ayton last night, which was right after that loss. Hey, guys, I'm leaving.
Yeah, see you later. I'm out. Yeah, that
right
was kind of
right there with the
awkward.
Shirt off, sitting in his locker room. I'm going to the NBA. Trae Young. And, I mean, listen, everyone can do whatever they want to do. It's just a little strange. Following a gut-wrenching loss in which he got utterly embarrassed in the game, DeAndre Ayton, and he wasn't the only one, Trae as well, saying that they're going to the NBA.
Well, it screams then, it's about them, not the team.
Correct.
That's what it screams.
And then you have Trae Young saying, I'll sit down, and he might he might in a week, in 5 days.
Well,
he might,
it might be today. I'll tell you why, because he retweeted, the ESPN tweeted, next stop for Trae Young, the NBA, and Trae Young retweeted that.
Well, there you go.
And that was 16 hours ago. So we're on that. 16 hours, 5-3, take away to 1, carry to 2, got it. Okay.
And so, yes, so following his loss yesterday, Young was noncommittal about the NBA. Taz just mentioned the retweet for Young. Conceivably speaking, if he's going to be a top 10 draft choice, I would imagine that he's going to go to the NBA and jump around and head to the association, Taz. But we'll see. Yesterday, certainly not a fantastic performance by the Sooners, who led a lot of the game. And then you saw, as Danny Hurley talked about it after the game, you know, the Northeast toughness of his basketball team. And that's what the Hurley brothers scream. They obviously learned it from their father, St. Anthony's, legendary high school program in the Garden State. A lot of great college players, great NBA players started at St. Anthony's. And unfortunately, that program and that school is no longer in existence. But you look at what Danny Hurley's been able to do at Rhode Island, and really what he was able to do at Wagner. What do you do in high school? I don't know if he's going to be able to. I don't know if he jumped the. And a lot of people are linking him up to UConn. If I were him, I'd probably stay at Rhode Island and look for a bigger job if I were Danny Hurley, as compared to trying to replace now Kevin Ollie, who tried to replace the legendary Jim Calhoun. But that's neither here nor there. That Rhode Island team showed a lot of mental fortitude down the stretch of that game, and especially in overtime.
Yeah, it was. I agree. It was a really good game. You know, Rhode Island, the victors, 83-78. And Rhode Island came in as a 7, and OU came in as a 10. And, you know, they're a fun team to watch, Rhode Island. They have a great energy about them. They really are a fun team to watch. You know, Trae Young, I mean, he played good. He had 28 points. He had 7 assists. I mean, at times I thought he could have moved the rock a little bit better, a little bit more often. And he was trying to do, he was forcing things, I felt.
Yeah.
You know, that won't help him. That won't help him in the NBA, too, besides being getting a little bigger. So you want to share the ball, right?
Yeah,
but,
you do.
You know.
He's a little selfish. He had some strange looks between him and the head coach, Lon Kruger, sitting on the sideline for Oklahoma as well. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS is your number to call.
Let's go to Noah in Alabama. You are on with Taz and the Moose. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Noah?
Man, talking about all this Trae Young stuff, I don't think Trae Young's a top 10 draft pick. I honestly do not. Not yet. I think if I was Trae Young, I would stay another year or two and develop a little better.
I think he needs to, from a physical standpoint, just his play. I mean, he's exciting to watch, but I think right now there's a lot of sizzle, not enough steak with that kid, in my opinion. You know, so that's how I look at it. Is this the great Noah Howell?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. This guy here, Moose, he used to call the Taz show like when it first started. Way back.
Oh, wow. Look at that. No, original.
Old school original Taz show fan. I recognize that voice. This guy here is one of the biggest Alabama football fans you're ever going to meet.
There
shocking. He's from Alabama.
Down in Alabama. Very nice. Well, thanks for making the call to us this morning,
man.
Noah. You know, right now he's slated to be a top 10 pick by most scouts, and it could adjust and change. Maybe he ends up being a late lottery selection. But right now he's a top eight NBA prospect, and he might be a better overall NBA player or a better basketball player if he stays 2 years at Oklahoma. But also then there's the risk reward opportunity too, where he could conceivably be getting paid millions of dollars next year to continue to develop and work on his body and be a paid professional athlete, or stay on the Oklahoma campus and putting his body on the line. I mean, next year he plays for Oklahoma, suffers a devastating knee injury, for argument's sake, a bad knee injury, bad injury, back injury, whatever it might be. And then all of a sudden his career prospects do adjust and do change. So
I think he's going to go for the money. I think he's going to go in
the
NBA.
Leave.
I don't think he's ready at all. I mean, look at, like we just talked about what Barkley said, Moose. If you look at Ayton, you know, a guy like his physicality is totally different. Different type body, different type.
Yeah, he looks like he's 25 years old.
That's what I'm saying. Right. I mean, so there's a difference. And all kids mature differently. These athletes all mature, I mean, as far as the physicality,
sure,
the muscularity, that all, everyone's different. Some guys get it a little bit younger. Some guys get it when they're 21. Some guys get it at 18. I mean, really, it's everyone's different. It's your genetics. It's what you're made up of. So this kid, Trae Young, is a smaller framed guy. He really is. There's not a lot of thickness to him.
Yeah, and I don't know what his game is. Shot selection's got to be a lot better. You saw him become a little piggish at times with some of his shots, especially in the second half of the season when Oklahoma was struggling. He's got a pretty shot. He can be instant offense. It'll be curious to see what kind of player that Trae Young will be, but there's no doubt the development of his body is going to be priority number one because it is just not there as of yet. But in all likelihood, he's probably going to declare himself for the NBA draft. Did you hear the comments by Stephen F. Austin coach, Kyle Keller, that he's basically said he doesn't think, he does not believe millennials watch college basketball?
He's right. I'll tell you what, he's right. I believe that. I mean, if you're going to stereotype them, I think as a whole, he's right, because what they do is, I know it's because my kid does this with all his friends, they'll just watch the last couple of minutes on their phones, on Twitter, highlights on Twitter or Instagram. That's what they do. I mean, they just don't sit and this, you know, that this generation, these younger guys and girls, they're just distracted with so many other things going on. And I don't think they're sitting there investing time to watch a full game.
Not even the tournament?
I don't think so, man.
Really?
I really think they're bouncing around. I mean, unless you're a student at that school and you're at the game, that's a different story. But
I mean, if I'm a college student right now, I'm going to a Big Ten school, I'm not investing watching the Big Ten tournament or watching the
You're a Michigan student.
Yeah, whatever it might be. Yeah. Ohio State, Indiana.
Yeah.
Pick respective conference. I'm not sitting there watching the NCAA tournament on that college campus?
I don't think so. I mean, look.
That's surprising.
My son's on a college campus. His team is in the tournament, and they're all athletes, and most of them didn't even go to the game, and it was right next to their locker room.
Right.
Because they were busy, you know, they were doing stuff.
But
you know?
I can understand you having responsibilities, and you've got class, and you've got papers to work on, whatever it might be.
Right.
I'm thinking about having it on the background. You're not flipping the TV on?
I don't know.
They didn't have the game on?
This is tough to say, right? Because we don't know. We're stereotyping a whole generation.
Well, the coach did. I mean, the coach basically said he doesn't think the millennials watch college basketball.
I agree with him. I think as a whole, I'm telling you, I think as we talk, as everybody knows, mobile devices are king now.
Yeah.
And they're doing everything on social media. That's how they watch. Oh, look at that highlight. Oh, look at that three-pointer in Loyola Chicago.
Right.
I don't know.
You're right. That's disappointing.
I know.
Mean, it is. But maybe you're probably right. 855-212-4CBS. We'll come back. We'll talk about the latest wheelings and dealings in the NFL. Where's Sue ending up? Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever,
or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.